This is from Harivamsa Purana. This is Giriraj's Giriraj Utsav 2010, Anakut Utsav. And Giriraj is very happy, and all his devotees are very happy, all the Vrijvasis are happy. Because Giriraj just had a wonderful feast of, 7,874 preparations. And some of them he couldn't see, but they were there. And many devotees took part to make a wonderful offering for Giriraj. And this is the perfection of cooking. So many housewives, they cook so many useless meals for useless people, for useless functions. But when you finally come in the service of the Lord, everything we do becomes an act of seva. And when our hearts become pure, it becomes an act of prem seva. So when we come in the service of Krishna, everything we do is an act of seva, not work, not duty. It's not my duty as a mother to cook, or my duty as a wife to cook. This is my expression, my love. The beginning it's seva mixed with karma and gyan, then it's seva mixed with bhakti, then it's seva mixed with bhava, then it's seva mixed with prema, and that's called prema seva. Radharani is also doing seva. We're also doing seva. There's some difference, of course. Her seva is imbued with mahabhav, and our seva is imbued with mahaprasad. Some maha is there, no doubt. Especially the more maha we eat, the more seva we do. It's a long story. Krishna hears about this yajna that they're supposed to do, the Vrijvasis. And Krishna inquires about the sacrifice. Okay, let's just see what it says here. Krishna and Balaram spent the months of the rainy season in Vrindavan. Try to listen with some kind of attention. Relishing their wonderful childhood pastimes. One day, the two great heroes, they heard that all the Vrijvasis were going to make some offering to Indra. They understood that the Vrijvasis were very eager to celebrate this festival with great pomp. Curiously, Krishna asked one of the coward men, "Hey, Baba, what is this Indra Yajna all about? I see you're all excited and happy about it." The most experienced and elder coward man replied, "Listen, child, I'll explain to you the reason we are so devotedly worshipping Indra and Braj. Indra is the king of the demigods and he controls clouds. So this festival is for his pleasure, Indra Yajna festival. And the rainbow and all the clouds, they shower rain which produces food grains to feed all the people and especially our beloved animals, the cows. All living entities subsist on food grains that are produced from water supplied by Indra. He assists the demigods." Imagine telling Krishna this. There's some coward man. "Oh, Krishna, don't you know? All living entities subsist on food grains." Krishna says, "Wait a minute. That's one of my lines from the Bhagavad Gita. Anad bhavati bhutani parjanyat anasambhavo. I know, I'm prepping you for the line, and you'll say this line 100 years from now. So, don't you know that Indra assists the demigods in their performance of yajna in various ways? It's only because Indra supplies this rain that we get food grains. Listen, son, cows, bulls, and calves are maintained by green grass that comes as a result of rain. They become healthy and produce lots of milk. If there's sufficient rain, everything is wonderful." So this coward man gives a long description of meteorology and how clouds are formed and rain, and Krishna's going, "Really? It's like that. Very organized arrangement. Very scientific. Very systematic. Indra's quite an intelligent person." And Indra's just one fingernail in Krishna's Virata Roop. So Krishna, after he heard that, he actually understood. He replied to them, he said, "Listen, I understand very well the actual influence of Indra." Now Krishna takes the floor after patiently hearing this diatribe by the coward men, the learned and wise, elderly and respected coward men. Now this little how many year old boy?
7, 8, 9.
Would you believe?
7
years old, 7 days, 10 fingers, pinky finger, left hand, next ear, rasa dance, 8 years old. Gopis are how old?
Six.
Seven. Radhi. Oh, respected one! We are cowherds by birth and we live in a forest. We earn our livelihood by taking care of cows. You should consider cows, forests, and mountains to be our worshipful protectors. Because he's saying that Indra is our protector and maintainer. And Krishna says, that's all very intangible, very invisible. I see the mountains, I don't see Indra. I see the forests, I don't see Indra. I see the cows, I see the grass. So let's worship the forests, the trees, the mountains. Agriculture is a means of livelihood for farmers trading for vaishyas. Maintaining cows is for people like us. This is what I understood, my dear respected elder, and I've heard this from authoritative sources. Sounds like a newscast. Authoritative sources report that according to one's natural propensity, one should engage in performing his occupational duties. Now this coward man told Krishna about meteorology and Indra and his influence and how he arranged everything. Now Krishna, the 6-year-old boy, replies and explains the whole science of Varnashram Dharma and the duties of the 4 ashramas and the duties of the 4 varnas. And the guy's saying, huh? This little 6-year-old kid or 7-year-old kid is so astute and learned and wise and all these rather complicated subjects of sociology and like that. He says, my dear respected senior, one who receives benefit from someone but then worships and serves someone else becomes a sharer of his miseries, both in this life and the next. That's a very interesting concept. You receive benefit from someone, but then you worship and serve someone else, and you become a sharer of his miseries. In other words, the person you got benefit from, and you didn't serve. In other words, if you take, you have to give. It's a law of give and take. You've heard this. In other words, in the hip generation when I grew up, they said there's no such thing as a free lunch. This was the phrase in the 70s. They say free soup line, free food, Salvation Army, free food. They have all these things. Food for life. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Because in your last life, you distributed free food. Or in your next life, you'll have to distribute free food. Or somehow you'll have to pay. If you chase in life, you'll never get anything for free. Especially children, they think they get so many benefits from their parents. And their parents say, oh, by the way, yeah, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this and that. Krishna is telling that you can't escape the debt in this life. You'll suffer miserably in this life and it'll carry over in next life if you don't even the score. You just take and don't repay, then you'll be miserable. Interesting. The entire land of Vrindavan is full of agricultural fields, and then there's forests and Govardhan Hill. That's certainly our shelter. Shruyante girayash chapivane smin kama rupina Pravishya tashtashta danavo ramante sveshu sanushu. Sri Gopal said, I've heard that the hills of the forest, like Govardhan, they can assume various forms, kama rupina, according to their sweet will. Thus they manifest various forms and they wander about on their own peaks. So you see Nilgai wandering on the peaks of Govardhan, which is a type of beast, something like a horse or deer or whatever it is. Cow, this, that, the other thing. And that may be Govardhan. Giriraj. Govardhan Parvat has assuming kama rupina means to assume whatever form you want. So that's a possibility. And I've heard, based on the Sarivamsa Puran, from our guardians, that our Shiksha Gurus, that when devotees are walking around Govardhan, then Govardhan assumes a human form and he walks behind. You must have heard me discuss this a few times. He walks behind the devotee to understand what he's all about. He wants a wife, or he wants a husband, or a kid, or money, or a new job, or whatever, some kind of desire to become something. And then Govardhan, and then, but if the devotees are chanting, Hare Krishna, oh, this is Govinda Kund, such nice pastime. I've been here and there. And he's just meditating on Leela, then he finishes, then he's thinking, well, what's coming up? What's coming up is Gwalpakur, and there's such a nice pastime there, and then he's chanting, thinking, oh, and then it's Ratnavedi. In this way, and he's just not asking for anything, he's just praying to Giriraj and remembering him and remembering pastimes. The first person who wants something, especially if he wants something material, like so many people do, they come, you know, from the cities and whatnot, and they ask for so many material benedictions, and Giriraj walks behind them, and he says, well, why they came here? Why you came? Why you came to do Parikrama? And he listens, oh, you came for that. Oh, take it, get out. He just, he turns around behind him, he says, go like, yeah, take that thing. Now leave me alone. He goes back to the top of the hill. But devotees that come with a pure heart, without any motivation or desire, ulterior motive, then he's very curious. Oh, and he stays behind a devotee the whole way around the hill. And then he takes note in his little book. He has a little account book. Krishna Das. Then a month later, Krishnadas comes again. He says, oh, this is Krishnadas. And he walks behind him. Maybe he has some desire now. And he doesn't have any desire. And again he stays behind. And Krishnadas keeps saying, oh, Giriraj, you're so merciful. I just want Krishna's service. I just want prema, pure love for Radha and Krishna, and their pure loving service. So then he stays and stays, and some fine day, according to his sweet will, then he bestows that prema. That's why he's the greatest of all devotees, Haridas Varya. Because he fulfills the inner desires of the devotee to attain the perfection. It is a mountain. It is a mountain that takes the form of a lion or tiger, which are considered to be the kings of the jungle. Like jungle is usually in a valley or surrounding a mountain. There's some jungle in the valley. And you know, that's where jungle is. And the plains are usually some open area, the plains. But when you get near the mountain, there's more water near the mountain, so there's more greenery and thick jungle. As you go higher the mountain, there's more rocks and things. So the mountain itself is the king of the king. They say Giriraj. Raj means king. He's the king of all mountains. Govardhan Parvat. But then he takes the form of a lion or tiger, and he comes down and moves around in the jungle at his base. And then they say the lion is the king of the jungle in the daytime, and the tiger is the king of the jungle in the nighttime. They have different habitats. In the day, the lion sleeps in a den. You know the lion's den? You heard this term? The lion goes in a cave inside the mountain. He stays there. And the tiger is like a cat. Probably say he's like a dog, actually. But the tiger the tiger comes out at night. He has special eyes for seeing at night. And they daytime, but they... And even they have special animals in the forest, like panthers and jaguars that are especially good at night. Leopards, panthers. You see them in these National Geographic movies that shoot at night. They go, big black face. And you're watching on TV, you get scared, even if you're watching the television or the telly. Right. And then, in this way, the mountain protects itself and the surrounding area by frightening those who come down to cut down the trees and thereby harm the forest. So previously, people didn't have, you know, rifles and shotguns and dynamite and things. So they would come and try to rip off the forest of all the big hardwood trees, and the lions would come and eat them up. So then the men would stay out of the forest and just make by with bamboo houses, whatever they can get together. But now they go in with logging roads and they shoot all the heavy animals and take them out. And it's pretty horrible what they all do. They do. So when persons earn their livelihood by taking advantage of the forest, try to harm its predominating deity, that powerful Lord will certainly kill such sinful people. So now, of course, people are ripping off, as I say, raping the forest, raping the virgin, like we say, raping the virgin. So forests are considered the virgin. They would say the virgin forest, which means untouched, undefiled by man. You know, no, they haven't cut down trees and things like that. Natural. It's called virgin forest. But now they're doing that, and so all those people that go in there and cut down trees and logging and everything, they usually get their reaction. One way or another, the powerful Lord will kill such people. The brahmanas remain engaged in chanting mantras, and farmers till the land. The profession of cowherders like us, we should perform a Govardhan sacrifice. Giri yagyas tata gopa idjo. Asmabir girivani. He says, listen, Krishna's telling him, you told me all about Indra and rains and grass and all that. Well, I'm telling you the facts of life. There's the forest, the grass, the mountain, the cows. And we are those people. These are our daily deities. Daily, we're taking something from them. We're taking something from the forest, so many minerals and baths and water. We're taking from the grass and the fruits from the forest. We're taking from Giriraj, we're taking from the jungle, and you're worshipping Indra. That's why he made this point. You're taking from somebody and you're worshipping somebody else. You follow? So then you get miserable. You get miseries in this life and next life. You're taking from Giriraj, you're taking from the forest, and you're taking from the land, the grass, but you're not paying back. Indra's far away in Swargaloka. Indraloka, what's he got to do with Giriraj? He's not giving any of what he gives. He gives rain on the plains and the ocean. He pours rain in the ocean. What do they need rain in the ocean for? It's full of ocean. He's a foolish rain giver. So Krishna's using this point. Listen, you know, you know what happens if someone, he's warning him, you know, he speaks some, this is called Niti Shastra, laws for mankind, codes of conduct, morality is called Niti Shastra, Niti. Niti, like Sunit. Some people have the name Sunit. So Krishna is telling, this is Sunit, this is Niti. You take something from someone, then you have to give. As you take, so you shall give. It's like this. We're taking so much from Giriraj, we take so many fruits and so many water, and we bathe there, and we get stones and minerals, and we decorate ourselves and get gems to wear and so many things. And we're not doing it, forget Indra. Giri Yagya. Forget Indra Yagya. This is supposed to be Indra Yagya, annual Indra Yagya. This should be Giri Yagya. We should worship Giriraj Dharanaki Jai. Giri Govardhan Le Sharan Radha Krishna Ke De Charan. Giri Govardhan Le Sharan Radha Krishna Ke De Charan. Giri Govardhan Le Sharan Radha Krishna ke de charan. Radha Krishna ke de charan. Giri Govardhan le charan. Radha Krishna ke de charan. Take shelter of Giri Govardhan and he will give you the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna Yugo ki. Jai. So, please worship Govardhan Hill. And Krishnaji says more. Listen, coward men. This is a 7-year-old kid piping up. It is my desire that the worship of Govardhan Hill be introduced from today. We should select a suitable place like Gwalpakur, either under a tree, under a tree, that's where we do our puja. Or at the foot of the hill, and that's at the foot of the hill. And after cleaning it thoroughly, which we did, and we should assemble along with our cows, which we did, but it came in the form of a centro. Right? We went down on our cow. We went down a bullock. It was a white centro. Black nose. Right? It has a black nose. And black feet. It has little black hoofs. Right? It has four black hoofs. Centro.
Yes.
The tires are black, no? Those are the hoofs. So we went in our little bullock cart down there. Along with our cows, and we should worship Govardhan Hill. We can bring all the milk from our cow shed, which we did, 1 liter. It's a small cow shed, Goshala. and then use it to bane Govardhan Hill. What do you think of this proposal?
Great idea.
Haribo, Shava, 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 Haribo. Tachahatva Pashun Medhyan Vitatya Yatane Shubhe Sarvagoshasya Sandoha Kriyatam Kim Vicharyate. We should make all the cows, their heads decorated with flowers of the autumn season, and we should circumambulate the entire Govardhan Hill, keeping it on our right. And we're about to do that. The very pleasant autumn season has already arrived. Isn't it very pleasant? If I didn't have a cold, I think it's great. So the water and green grass of Vrindavan are very tasty for the cows. Much of the time, there is hardly a hint of a cloud in the sky, unfortunately. Indeed, the atmosphere is most pleasing. The forest of Vrindavan has a golden hue because of many fully blossomed kadamba flowers. Due to the countless bushes and small plants here and there, the forest sometimes appears dark. The grass is no longer tender because it has grown long, and we no longer are hearing the crowing of the peacocks. Was it? I'm low.
Oh!
Yeah, that's it. My throat's a little gone. We don't hear them anymore. Be quiet. The clouds in the sky are devoid of water, dirt, and lightning, and they appear like elephants without tusks. That's cute. During the rainy season, the forests look very green and dense because of heavy rainfall and strong wind. Now the trees are losing their leaves, therefore it's called fall. Because the leaves are falling. Very brilliant deduction. The sky looks like a king with a crown on its head. The white clouds resemble his white turban. The swans are white chamaras, which we don't see. And the full moon is a white umbrella over his head of the king, named Autumn. So the little kid is pretty poetical also. Because, I mean, after all, he is God. It's one of the qualities, poet. After the rainy season is over, water in all kinds of reservoirs begins to decrease. The swans lose their luster. The cranes have condemned them. And the entire sky becomes decorated with countless stars, which you can see at night. It's like billions and billions of stars. It appears they are competing with one another, and each star seems to be saying to another star, "My beauty is superior to yours." Sounds like the stars of Bollywood also. The forests of Vrindavan are numerous kinds of birds sweetly sing like intoxicated persons. Padded fields increase the beauty of the forest, and it's just wonderful. The land of Vrindavan is adorned with beautiful reservoirs of water, ponds, lakes, kunds, streams, and rivers. It was nice in those days. And the water of those reservoirs, they're red, white, yellow, and blue lotus flowers. Blue lotus flower, can you imagine? I never even seen one. You ever seen? I never seen. To increase the beauty of the entire area, the peacocks aren't intoxicated, the cool breezes aren't blowing heavy anymore, there's very few clouds. The whole Vrindavan appears to be full of eyes because peacock feathers are scattered everywhere here and there. That's very nice. Krishna's saying the whole land of Vrindavan appears to be full of eyes, you know, the eye on the end of the peacock's feather. Because they drop their feathers after the Sharad, the rainy season. And there's not too many to be found because all these guys, Brijvasis, have scooped them all up. You see guys going on Parikrama? Have you seen when we were coming? They're holding big, big stacks of peacock feathers because they were on the ground of Vrindavan. So now they carry them around and maybe sell them. The banks of Yamuna, which became dirty with mire and all these things, are now looking beautiful. And it's a long description about the beauty of the whole place. And it's a nice description of the beauty of the autumn season now. The moon has relinquished his garments of clouds and has become celebrated due to the good qualities of the autumn season. He looks very joyful in the clear sky. During the rainy season, as you know, the moon is playing peekaboo. The moon is playing peekaboo, I see you. Peekaboo, peekaboo, I see you. So sometimes it comes out from the clouds, and then and it's very rare you get a clear night, or it's clear night for a couple hours, and the clouds roll in because so much wind blows in clouds. Many times I saw be sleeping outside and be clear, and all of a sudden wake up, it's all cloudy, you can't find the moon. But now the clouds are all gone, so it's clear sky, crisp, clear, beautiful. Moon looks like a gem in the sky, like moonstone or a crystal, like a big crystal. There's a description of Ananda Brahman Champu about the fall season. It goes on about 6 pages about the moon, about how beautiful the moon is in the sky. Ananda Brahman Champu. It's really a gem of a book. Unfortunately, most of you are so absorbed in, you know, the basic maintenance program of life that you really can't deeply read all these beautiful shastras that literally transport your heart and mind to another world, which is a world you want to go to. In a world you want to live in, but you're so embroiled with making meals and folding clothes and ironing shirts and getting kids off to school that you just have no time. By the time you have time, when you finally have the free time to read all these books, your eyes don't work, and your back hurts too much, and you can't sit straight to read long enough. So one of the projects I like to do is put them all on tape, but I think it's being done by some godbrothers. One of my godbrothers reading many chapters from Ananda Brahman Champu on tape and selling them also, Dhruv Maharaj Das, he and his wife. Because people like, that'll be good. You can lie in bed so you don't need a good back. And close your eyes so you don't need good eyes. But at least your ears have to work. Huh? Huh? What did you say? Huh? Excuse me, I can't hear you. See, when we get old, our ears don't work either. So it's really unfortunate that our life is such that we can't begin bhakti from the age of 5 like Prahlad Maharaj encourages us, Komara Achyut Pragya Dharman Bhagavatamiham. From the age of Komara, from the age of 5, we should drop everything and quit college. At the age of 5, we should quit college and get divorced and start, practicing bhakti. just make a joke out of it. The cows give double the quantity of milk in autumn. That's the other good thing. And the bulls become doubly intoxicated. With what? So the cows give twice as much milk because they're very healthy. And the bulls become doubly intoxicated with what?
Lust.
With lust to enjoy the healthy cows. The mind is certainly attracted to the vision of rows of charming forests that are nicely decorated with red bandujiva flowers where the mud is completely dried up. So then Krishna is speaking so nicely. I mean, he's giving a long discussion. The man that spoke, Krishna said, what are you all doing over here? What's all this arrangement for a big yajna? Well, this is Indra yajna. He supplies rain. We need grass for the cows. And Krishna says, acha, that's nice. Well, let me explain. Actually, then Krishna takes the guy's ear and fills it up for hours with verse after verse after verse about Varnashram Dharma, and we should worship Giriraj and the land and the cows. And then look at the beauty of Vrindavan, look at the beauty of the forest in so many poetical ways. You really, imagine this coward man's like, he's lost. It's like Krishna's done jadu on his brain. He's hypnotizing with his beautiful poetic expressions and beautiful, sweet, charming face. And I mean, imagine just looking at Krishna is enough to intoxicate your mind and heart. And he's speaking so beautifully and philosophically and poetically the same, and eloquently. Eloquently, philosophically, and politically, all wrapped into one. It's being presented from such a beautiful facade, such an unlimitedly charming countenance, that the man who's receiving this mercy as a reply to his statement must be counting his stars and how fortunate he is to be able to see Krishna speaking and hear such beautiful talks. And we're so lucky that Vedavyasa has brought these to our ears. Of course, it's a little hard for us to see the face of Krishna speaking these. But this is all being spoken to one coward man. The autumn season appears like a young girl in the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan, where there are many containers of milk and yogurt lying here and there. The demigods must be cautiously trying to wake up the Supreme Lord, who rests during the months of the rainy season, and who is the best among the controllers. That's a very nice way of talking about the end of Chaturmasya. Because this is about the end of Chaturmasya, as you know, 2 more weeks. So they're cautiously, shh, don't wake up Vishnu. First the demigods get up, because servants get up before the master, at least they're supposed to. Like the wife gets up before the husband, generally, at least in the village. and sweeps the floor in front of the house and does all the sweeping and everything before sunrise, because it's inauspicious, and does rangoli and everything. And then she prepares the stove. That's the next thing. Get all the wood and kaldon, get the stove going, and then prepare, you know, the items to be cooked. First, sweep and clean the house and entrance, then prepare the stove. Get the stove going, and then start, no, it's churning, and then get the stove going, and then start cooking. Get things underway, then start to wake up the children and husband. It's the village life. And the servants get up before the masters, so the demigods are cautiously approaching Svetadvip. Shh. Hey! Shiva, don't let out any wild cries. Shh, control yourself. And they're cautiously approaching Vishnuloka to wake him up. So the forest is thicker and more dense, the trees are full of flowers, Govardhan looks beautiful, like an evening cloud accompanied by a rainbow. The trees are as tall as a building, decorated creepers and bushes. The horns of the cow, now he's telling how to do it. Our foremost duty is to worship Govardhan Hill as well as the cows of Braj. So he says, it's our duty to worship Govardhan Hill as well as the cows of Braj. The horns of the cow should be decorated with gold. So? Peacock feathers and other ornaments. And a necklace of bells should be placed around their necks. For the benefit of the Brijvasis, we should worship the cows with autumn flowers. We should immediately perform Govardhan Puja. Let the demigods worship Indra. That's good. That's great. He says, Pujatam Tridashe Shakro Girir Asmabir Ijatam. Let the devas worship Indra. Let us worship Giriraj Govardhan, the key. Then, if you have any love or affection for me, this is Krishna speaking. Kara yishyami go yagyam baladapi nasamshaya yad yasti maiva pritir yadiva sridhovayam. If you have any love or affection for me, and if we are the well-wishers of one another, I compel you to worship the cows! Really? 7-year-old kid? And Govardhan Hill. There is no doubt that cows are always beneficial for human society, and thus, worshipful for all classes of men. So, worship the cows. If you are pleased with my instructions, then kindly accept them without hesitation and follow whatever I have indicated for your own benefit. The coward men accept Krishna's proposal and worship Govardhan Hill. So this is part one of our Anakut lecture taken from Harivamsa Puran. We always wanted to speak it, even though we skipped a few verses, but at least we did it some justice. It's a very beautiful rendition. The wonderful point to be understood here is how much love Krishna has. The intense, by seeing a person's actions and hearing the content of his speech, one gets a peep into his heart to some extent, if one has a little sensitivity and perception. And Krishna is certainly exposing his heart here in this dialogue with this coward man, this Brijvasi. And anyone could easily, who hears this discussion of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Gopal, 7-year-old child, can understand how much Krishna loves Vrindavan and honors Vrindavan and the trees and the grass and the land and the forest and the clouds and the sky. Basically, what you can draw from this conversation is everything in Vrindavan then and now and forever is transcendental, is spiritual and is special. And it's not a material moon. And Vrindavan is not a material moon. And it's not a material sky, it's a spiritual moon. And it's not a material clouds, it's spiritual clouds. And it's not, you know, material stars, they're spiritual stars. Like we say, spiritual sky. Prabhupada, they started an incense company called Spiritual Sky Incense. I remember when we used to buy this incense. Spiritual Sky. They had different Night Queen, raspberry, strawberry. These were the type. And because in those days, people liked these type of fruity flavors and stuff. Strawberry, Night Queen, raspberry, and this and that. And the devotees were making incense sticks. And it was nearby, it was about 1 kilometer from the LA temple. When we would go to the Los Angeles airport, we would pass over this flyover. You know, most of the whole freeway is like a flyover, isn't it? The whole thing is like raised up somewhere. And the factory is right near the freeway because that's kind of like cheap property over there in Culver City. They're renting some place. And, and when we were coming back from San Gretan in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock or so, we left around 8 in the morning. We have the windows down, and then you could, and the whole freeway would smell like whatever incense they were preparing that day. The place smelled like strawberries. It was all chemicals, but strawberries, and it's, that's our spiritual sky factory. Everyone's driving on the road. What's that smell? It's Hare Krishna's. And all the books, when you go to the bookstore, an LA bookstore, because they sold the incense in the bookstore. So paper picks up fragrance very much so. Like cloth, you know, you smell those curtains, they smell like 10,000 incense sticks. Like somebody came here and they said, God, you're all used to it, you know, but he came here from the Western Sannyasi, he said, boy, your temple smells so good. There wasn't any incense burning, just the pervading fragrance of the place, you know. This is like you go in a bar, how is a bar smell, or how is a restaurant, you know, meat eating restaurant, Hyatt Regency 5, it stinks like flesh and it's horrible, disgusting smell. I remember doing book distribution. I was doing book distribution in Los Angeles in the daytime to the airport, and the weekends the airport was slow because people fly in Friday and go out on Monday or Sunday night. So Saturday we go to the casinos, Saturday night, Caesar's Palace and Golden Nugget and all these places in disguise, you know, like undercover, like Ramchandra. Ramchandra disguised himself and went out to spy on the people. So we would disguise ourselves so people wouldn't know that we were Ramachandra. I mean, Hare Krishnas. They wouldn't know that we were Hare Krishna devotees. You know, so we had a little bit longer hair and stuff. Or hair period. And we wore tuxedos. Actually, we wore white tuxedos. Black pants and a white dinner jacket. And like dinner jacket type, semi-formal type. And they thought we were like, you know, at the tables. And the only thing was we had a book bag. It looked a little strange. Tuxedo with a book bag. And the book bag was Bhagavad Gita's. And you had to be really courageous because each devotee would be dropped in a different place and there's all full of prostitutes. But the smell, it was the people and the noise and the music and the dice and the looks on the people's faces. It was like a tour of hell. I felt, when we go in those places, I felt like I was touring the 24 hells of Pitripuri, Yamaloka, going, I was feeling, people, oh. But the smell was abominable. First thing we do when we get to the car, we light up about 10,000 incense sticks. And just to revive us, it's like all everywhere, flesh and booze and cigarettes and smoke. And they're all really low ceilings because they're all air conditioned. It's a desert, you know, so they don't have very high ceilings. I don't remember. It seems like that. It's like go inside and it's all green. Everywhere is green and, you know, there's roulette wheels and slot machines. They have regular sized slot machines and they have these like jokester type or something. They make a joke. They're all like a certain uniform size. They have a big one, has like about a 6 foot handle on it. Has a big ball, like a red basketball on it like this. And you have to hold on to it with your whole body weight and then you pull it. It's like kind of a jokester wallet, but you put $5 into it. It's like every line of 10, there's this one big fat, like, it's like this big. Like a kiddie, like a joking type, you know, like a funny one. And so you see these ladies about 60 years old, and they're just faces, and they'd be hanging on that ball going, then some other guy would come and grab her by the waist and pull her down like this, and they would pull the handle down and go, ching, 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 ching. She'd go, ah, ah, ah. Oh, it's unbelievable. So this is, hell, and so this is not Vrindavan. That was not Vrindavan. That was hell, but we went there to rescue people. It was a rescue mission to give them Bhagavad Gita and save them from God knows what kind of birth. And amazing experience in life to see that, experience that. You know, for Prabhupada's service, for preaching, because we felt so much compassion. I was really in a mood of compassion those days. To give the mercy to the people. Anywhere, everywhere, in any circumstance, we would go. The Sankirtan leader, sometimes I was a Sankirtan leader. But Krishna, he's basically what he's telling us here in Harivamsa Purana is that this place is so, and it's, open your eyes, you know, drink deeply. You're here for a few moments, a month or a week, and look at these trees and feel this vibration and understand that this is the spiritual world. It's not, oh, that was then, this was then, that was now. This is the spiritual world. So now we'll go on Giriraj Parikrama. Giriraj Dharana Ki Jai.